gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. How do I know? We just had a GoToMeeting about it.
Yes.
It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie, won't you? StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Good morning, lovely Rebecca.
Well, well, look who it is. Hello, hot stuff.
Ha!
So do you want to make out?
Her voice drips sincerity. No, thank you.
Oh, that's right. You haven't talked to her since the whole thing.
Listen, I just saw the lovely and talented Mr. Taylor. And, you know, that whole thing is clearly sacred.
No, let's talk about Rebecca, you and me. No, forget him.
I want to hear, because Aisha Tyler was here yesterday for Tuesdays with Tyler, which is always explosive. We always make the right-wing websites. We piss someone off.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a call, you got a complaint call about Aisha saying that she is racist?
Yeah.
Towards
her own people?
Oh, towards black people.
Right, yeah.
She is a black person who, according to Rush Limbaugh, has won an NAACP award for being black. She is, according to our caller, racist towards black people.
I think she called herself a negress yesterday.
Oh,
That was probably it. That's what set the caller off.
No. So it's kind of like a why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why?
It was the oddest thing because I've never had a complaint call transferred to me directly.
Like, yes.
I hide myself. I make sure no one can find me.
Yeah.
And
you're never available. I can't find you.
Right. That's right. On purpose. So I get this call and it's like, are you one of the producers of Stephanie Miller? And I was like, oh.
You're like,
why?
Well, it's like when people ask me out, are you Stephanie Miller? I'm like, that depends how you feel about her. I try to suss out whether it's a friend or foe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she called and she was like, I don't know who was on your show, but somebody said something about Tiger Woods sitting on chicken and eating chicken.
I was she did do a racist little rap. In fact, I pointed out that would be the difference. See, I cannot do that rap because, hello, Dr. Laura, are you listening? Because I am not black. She, however, is black, so she could, I believe it was something to the effect of, bring on the chicken and the girls, bring on, that was a thing. She did a little rap. It was a little Tiger rap.
It was very funny. Mm-hmm. And so I asked the woman, I said, well, all the stuff, you know, that was said about Elon, you know, against Swedes, did that bother you? No. No, that didn't bother her. So it was just one particular thing that got in her.
It was
the
chicken and the girls rap.
Right,
wow.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll pass that along to Aisha, and I'm sure she'll be more sensitive in the future toward her own kind. Oh, what's it like to be you? What sort of variety of complaint calls do you get?
You can tell by my bitterness that it sucks.
I know that from myself just being terrified of you, though. I can't imagine somebody really wanting to continue once you answer.
Yeah, I can't believe I've stayed with you for so long.
I know
it's been half a decade that I've been doing your bidding and scapegoat work and cleaning up your messes and talking to your fans.
Boy, howdy.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks, honey. All right.
Wow.
Listen, if you had to sit out there every day and answer the phones and take my, you know, you'd be bitter too, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
We're protected in here in our little fort. You see, Rebecca's out there in the trenches.
I've done what Rebecca does before, and it's not fun.
I would have given it anything to see the look on Rebecca's face when she answered the phone and a person said that Aisha Tyler is racist toward blacks. I would have given anything.
Sleeping with her cracker husband.
Aisha Tyler likes to lick her cracker. Explain that in her words. See, now you're gonna get a call that I'm racist toward white people because I just called them crackers, and I did.
But you are a cracker.
You bunch of crackers.
But you are a cracker.
Yeah, you're.
That's my
so
point.
Pasty. You're
Thank
like
you.
Clear. You're so white.
You're see through.
I am translucent practically. All right, we have because Rebecca does the Lord's work. We have Frank Rich coming up. In less than half an hour, and Mrs. Rich does seriously need to still worry, because his last two pieces, Angels in America and How Fox Betrayed Betrayus, just stunning, simply stunning, and we will talk to him in just a few minutes. How much do I beg and whine for Frank Rich?
He was on vacation
last week. I'm like, why is he on? No!
You kind of make an ass of yourself the way you beg for him.
I know. know. Also, Carl Frisch from Media Matters, co-hosting Right Wing World, and Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks, can I have some love music, please? He's driving to be with Mama. He's on his way right now from Vegas for Hump Days with Hal.
Yep.
He didn't have to come. But he's on the road right now.
He called me about 20 minutes ago from San Bernardino, so he's close.
Is he close?
Yes.
He's coming. He's like a homing pigeon. I have GPS in my lady parts. Come to me, Hal!
GP Hal.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, so we will have Hump Days with Hal shortly, if you're wondering where Hal is. All right. This one, from Rebecca. Not you, I'm guessing, but maybe.
Maybe.
No, this one has procreated. You've not done. Are you and Mr. Taylor going to procreate? What's going on?
I don't want to talk about it. Unless it's hate mail, it's not from me. If you get hate mail, that's from me.
We should get the lovely and talented Mr. Taylor in here someday.
Yeah, I gotta know some stuff about this. Now that this show's getting all up in everybody's private business, I gotta get my face right up in the Taylor's bedroom grill, see what's going on in there.
Especially since he just works the next room over.
And you can almost feel the smoldering sexual tension between them, two studios away. All right, this one, because, as you know, I believe children are the future. Rebecca.
I believe the children are the future.
I promise I wasn't going to read any more of these letters, but this one's just precious. Hi, Steph. When you had your coming out show, I was really moved when my 9-year-old son, Thurston. Who names their 9-year-old Thurston?
Like after Thurston the Howl?
And
whatever?
My daughter, Lovey.
Yeah.
My 9-year-old son Thurston woke up that day, had to tell him, hey, Stephanie Miller came out on her show today. She's gay. Like, this was big news. He's kind of looked at me for a second and said, so? See, that's the magic. That's what Frank Rich's Angels in America article is about. Someday, we're going to get there because kids don't really give a That's the whole point.
Right.
What was in the New York Times article? We quoted people under 30 in every state. In every state,
yep.
Support gay marriage. It's not just liberal states or this or that or whatever. Anyway, I am totally up for mother of the year on this one. My son considers being gay a non-issue. By the time his generation is running the world, sexual orientation won't be a reason to discriminate anymore, and he will be prepared to fight for whatever the next civil rights issue is. By the way, Thurston enjoys the lying sack of crap bit, which we haven't heard in a while. Can you play it?
Computer says yes.
For Thurston, of course.
You want your sack of crap?
Yeah.
You want your sack of crap? I am steamy, he's sticky, messy, he's sick of a good crap.
Yay, Thurston for president. Yay.
I wonder how old that kid is now.
That kid, the lying sack of a crap kid?
Yeah, because they were 4 years old when that was sent to us, so.
How old is Brandon now? Is his name Brandon or Brandon? You know, our other favorite little tot. Not the Audrey Rangel, the other kid. That kid.
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck? Thank you, Ben.
Brennan.
I'm the Art Link letter of crazy liberals.
Kids say that darndest thing.
I know, they're probably like 60 now, and we still play the drops. They're forever frozen in time. We freeze them in carbonite.
Carbonite, yep.
Our little Audrey Rangel impersonator, even if Charlie Rangel goes away, Audrey will live forever.
Charlie Rangel!
Frozen. Frozen, like in some sort of animated Disney film.
Huh?
I don't know. What did I mean by that? What?
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. They will be forever young on the Stephanie Miller Show is my point.
Mm.
All right. By the way, we've been talking about, since we're doing all the rethinking of the certain amendments that we don't like.
Yeah.
Maybe peeling them out like string cheese, maybe not. I think we should rethink that their Second Amendment.
You think so?
As the right wing's head implodes. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
For instance, how about this story out of Melbourne, Florida? A 72-year-old Florida woman was accidentally shot by her husband during a robbery drill. The couple staged to practice how they'd respond to an intruder. That didn't go well.
Oh, dear.
As drills go, that did not really end well.
Are they still alive, at least?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
I wouldn't be doing the story if they were dead. That is a robbery drill gone awry.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The Brevard County Sheriff's Office said Arnold and Patricia Morris had little experience with guns, and the shooting Sunday was clearly accidental.
Oh, boy.
He called 911 after the 380 caliber pistol fired, and his wife was airlifted to the hospital for surgery. Police say the two were fortunate to escape serious injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it ends with your wife being airlifted out of the... You better back out. That's probably a...
That's not a good morning.
You know, you should plan that robbery drill a little better. All right. How about this one? Man shot in the head but notices 5 years later.
What? Huh?
Now that is, he ran that off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like
that's
the
man.
It's like the coach saying, walk it off.
It's a man.
Yeah.
I've got a what in my head? Police say a man living in Germany was shot in the back of his head. It took him 5 years to realize it. He was hit by a .22 caliber bullet when he was out partying and drunk on New Year's Eve.
Oh, imagine that.
It could happen to me.
You're in bed by 9 on New Year's Eve. Are you
saying? Listen, bullet's not going to slow me up. They say the man recalled receiving a blow to the head, but told him he did not seek medical assistance at the time. The bullet did not penetrate the skull. Police say the Polish man.
Okay.
I'm a Polak, so there's a joke in there, too.
Yeah.
Only went to see a doctor recently when he felt a lump on the back of his head. An X-ray showed bullet in there.
That is some really good weed to not notice that you have a bullet in
some
your
good.
Head. I mean, he must have been high for years.
I don't know if there was weed involved. It only says alcohol. I'm not really sure. But there's a Polak joke I just can't think of yet. All right. One last drunk stack. Bride-to-be gets DUI charge hours before wedding. A 31-year-old bride-to-be heading home from her bachelorette party was arrested for drunk driving hours before her wedding.
That's classy with a K.
Yes, it'll be me. The woman driving over 90 miles per hour Saturday morning, weaving in and out of traffic. When she was stopped, a trooper arrested the woman, processed her, and let her take a cab home in time to make it for her early afternoon wedding. Aw, see? How many times have you had to do that for me? Lift me off the heating grate, clean me up a little bit.
Yep. Try and massage the waffle print from your cheek, you know.
Time to go marry Aisha Tyler at the mosque with Dr. Laura as your maid of honor. All right. 18 minutes after... Yes?
Rebecca.
Huh?
You used to work with Dr. Laura.
Oh.
Oh. Do tell.
Gosh.
Do tell us the fun facts.
What can I say? She's very, very charming.
See, the problem is you have this whole shtick about how awful I am.
You know,
and now nothing you can't really believe.
Yeah,
you.
I like her a lot.
You like your occasional job with her is what you.
Yeah, you know, I signed a confidentiality agreement with her,
really?
Which I haven't signed with you. That's why I'm working on my book about you. Mm. So I can't really say.
Clearly, I'm not as bright as Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Well.
Maybe that's why she has a doctor in front of her name, and you don't.
Oh, well. All right. What are the chances Rebecca didn't say anything about me? All right. Chris, we'll have to have a go-to meeting about this later, about the lack of confidentiality clauses on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, right away, Ms. Miller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Frank Rich and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, I have the honor of speaking at a fundraiser for Senator Barbara Boxer this evening.
Sweet.
It's fancy. It's fancy and stuff.
Does this mean you have to, like, wash your hair and get dressed up and stuff?
Yikes. There's going to be some cleanup involved. 25.
Hold you down.
Well, you know, it's primary day. We have lots of breaking primary news.
Yep.
Well, yesterday was. Pardon me. So lots to get to with the election news. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And Frank Rich coming up in just a couple of minutes. Oh, and Hal Sparks tweeted that my VJJ Hal GPS is working, and he's almost here.
Yes.
Come to Mama.
Your VJJ tractor beam, he called it.
Come to Mama. Barry... Barry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
You guys saved me. I just came into work today. I was like, I'm so up to here with this mosque crap. I'm glad you guys aren't talking about that yet this morning because it's
really... Well, now we are. Thanks for bringing it up.
Well, it's a huge distraction. Let me bring it up to show the distraction.
Yeah.
You know, the real issue for me is I'm trying to figure out when we became a nation of chicken poop losers and afraid to, you know, we're just not courageous anymore. I mean,
yeah.
We're really not. I mean, we've become a bunch of wimps. Somebody said something, we run like a bunch of scared chickens.
Yeah. Well, it's like Aisha Tyler said yesterday, democracy's hard. True democracy is hard. You know, freedom of speech is when you hate what someone is saying. It's freedom of religion. It's when it's something that maybe makes you a little uncomfortable like this.
Yeah, they don't want to be uncomfortable at all. I mean, the thing about the mosque is it's a constitutional right to have it. This discussion doesn't need to be had. You know, I know that it gets pushed over the air by Fox and the rest of those idiots,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's a distraction.
Well, and Barry, you know, we're going to talk to Frank Rich in a couple of minutes, but it's part of what his piece is about.
One of my favorites.
but you know what I'm saying, Barry? This is so blatantly political because it plays into maybe Obama's a secret Muslim and, you know, with the elections coming up, it is so blatantly, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it gets all pushed back onto this religious stuff, and I, you know, I take a look at history, and I don't believe, although a lot of wars have been fought in the name of religion, none of them are about religion. They're all about land and about economics and about power, and it's used as a tool.
Yeah, think about that. How many people have been killed in the name of God?
Really, without even knowing why they really did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you mentioned the bit about the Second Amendment, because these losers, the only part of the Constitution they like is the Second Amendment.
Yeah. Barry, I just do that, as you know, to poke the right wing with a sharp stick and set off the right wing war on alert system. I just think every day I'm going to do a new, here's why I think we should rethink the Second Amendment.
You keep poking them.
All right, thank you, so they can scream like little girls. No, not the Second.
Change the 14th Amendment all you want, but leave the Second Amendment alone.
As long as we're picking it, we're just like so many pickup sticks.
Yeah.
Let's just throw the Constitution in the air like pickup sticks. No, that one didn't fall right.
You know, it's funny. In the First Amendment, freedom of religion comes before freedom of speech. That's how much the Founding Fathers, you know, thought about
they
freedom of religion.
They meant unless it seems rude.
Oh.
Unless it seems impolite in some way. And then just you would be more polite to just move it somewhere else.
Pamela Geller's a douche, by the way.
Excuse me? That almost sounded... She's a what?
Well, she is, but...
we almost made Newsbusters for something else. Yeah, she's... we'll get to her in Right Wing World. Oh. She's the one that started this whole thing, right?
Yep. And she's well-funded by the, you know, Richard Mellon Scaifes of the world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way, this is how, as Frank Rich points out, and we'll talk to him in a couple minutes, it becomes part of the Republican Party. Did you see this? RNC official has waded into the Obama is a Muslim story. The RNC new media director, Todd Herman, suggests that national Republicans don't see any harm by furthering the false Obama is a Muslim story. He tweeted, Barack Obama amongst the 20% who think he's Muslim? The video was linked that shows an 18-second clip of an old interview with Madonna Obama in which he accidentally referred to being Muslim before correcting himself.
Hmm.
So the tweet's been deleted, but, you know, they're always happy to help.
Oh, of course. Hmm. Do you almost call him Madonna?
29 minutes after the hour, Frank Rich. It's next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What kind of girl do you think I am?
I don't know. You look like the kind of girl who brings down congressmen.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. I believe I'm getting the vapors.
Are you?
Yes. My Hal Sparks GPS tracking device has worked. He's here setting up his gadgets and things. I don't know, his voice stuff. We'll we'll be humping days with Hal in just a moment, but be still my heart. Guess who's on the phone?
Who?
Frank Rich of the New York Times, the best columnist in the world. Good morning, Frank Rich.
Good morning. Thank you. It's way generous. How are you?
I'm doing the best I can. I have both of your last columns in front of me, and I may explode in a frenzy of fan geekdom.
Please, no. Anyway, I can't be responsible for what I write, and I've probably forgotten half of it. But go ahead.
All right.
No, I'm joking.
You were on vacation, so let me tell you. All right.
No, I'm Well, let me... I wish I were, actually. Maybe go on. Not this minute, but in general.
Right. So, last week's How Fox Betrayed Betrayus, you know, again, I just thought so on point with this whole fake mosque gate or whatever it is. You know, you talk about what's been lost in all the screaming, that the prime movers in the campaign against the Ground Zero Mosque, quote unquote, happen to be among the last cheerleaders for the war in Afghanistan and are undermining their own cause.
Look, I mean, this is the group of people that worships General Petraeus, that feels that this Afghan policy that really he wrote the book on, the counterinsurgency policy that's now been adopted by the Obama administration, deserves American blood and treasure. And yet the whole basis of counterinsurgency is that we win hearts and minds in the Muslim world, specifically in Afghanistan, of course, and Pakistan.
Yeah.
And so here we have American troops who are putting their lives on the line with working side by side with illiterate, ill-trained Afghan troops working for a corrupt government that they already don't trust, and now we're in this civil war about a mosque and comparing Muslims to Nazis in the United States. This is terrible. This is, to me, is, you know, really a stabbing in the back of our troops and of the policy that they support in Afghanistan, that these hawks support.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and as you write, how do you win Muslim hearts and minds in Kandahar when you're calling Muslims every filthy name in the book in New York? You know, you say you think American hawks invested in the Afghanistan surge would not act against their own professed interests. But again, you know, once again, you nail it. It's because it's all about pandering during election season. And it really is uniquely un-American, isn't it?
It's incredibly un-American. And obviously it's against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything we profess to believe in. But also people have to understand it's completely ginned up. This so-called mosque, actually an Islamic cultural center, which has a prayer facility in it, but it's basically going to be, you know, cooking classes and adult education and outreach and so on, like so many institutions in New York City, was announced in a front-page article in the New York Times in December of last year. There was zero response. The only response, as Justin Elliott reported in Salon, was 2 weeks later, Laura Ingraham, of all people, had the Imam Ralph, who's in charge of it, on Fox,
yes,
on the O'Reilly Factor, and praised them for what they were doing in downtown New York.
Thought it was a dandy idea.
A dandy idea. And so why did this suddenly heat up, you know, 5 months later? Because the Murdoch empire, led by the New York Post in New York, but then, of course, Fox and the Wall Street Journal, decided to gin it up. And why did they decide to gin it up? They're hawks. I think it's because it plays into one of their favorite storylines, that Obama is a closet Muslim and perhaps a terrorist, and so it's an election year.
Yeah, I mean, that's at its most insidious. And, you know, you finish by saying, you know, this month's incessant and indiscriminate orgy of Muslim bashing is a national security disaster. Of course, we've already read, as you say, you know, counterterrorism experts have said it writes itself, the Al-Qaeda recruitment films, right?
It does, and it's already happening over there. And at the same time, there's almost no support anyway for the war in Afghanistan and America. Well, this is going to zap it. Why should we, a country that is in the midst of a terrible economic downturn still, spend billions of dollars to prop up a country which is full of actual mosques? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You can't. The whole disconnect is will not hold, and it's going to have terrible implications to go whatever happens in November, whatever effect it may not have in the election.
Well, the only thing I think we all can agree on is anywhere there's been a Burlington coat factory is sacred ground.
Yeah, absolutely. and I'm trying to get the franchise for my own apartment in New York.
All right. Let us magically segue to your last article, which, you know, I think is related, and we've been talking a lot about it. But, you know, of all of your articles, this one, well, you know, I want to spoon with you every day, basically do the show with you every day, 3 hours. But this article, Angels in America, I have to tell you, struck me so personally. I don't know if you heard, but I came out last week.
I did not hear. I didn't know. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah, it's, you know,
I got to tell you, this was one of the reasons, Frank, and I think, because I think as you sort of wrote, I mean, it's such a beautiful article. I urge everybody to read it. It's Angels in America by Frank Rich. And it's, you know, that we are at a critical moment, I think, in a critical civil rights battle in our history, you know, in terms of Prop 8, in terms of a lot of things. But you write about, actually, it started with one of the Peabody women in New York who passed away, correct?
That's correct. A woman I never met, but who was sort of legendary in New York, a woman named Judith Peabody, who, as her name might imply, is from one of the oldest, most venerable Yankee, you know, patrician families. A big socialite, constantly, you know, on the society pages of the Times and so on, with, you know, Nancy Reagan's friends and Jackie
right.
O's friends. And yet, at the height of really early on in the AIDS crisis, at a time when, for instance, in the New York Times, you were not allowed to use the word gay in a sentence unless it was in a direct quote, and where people were barely said the word AIDS out loud, she went and worked with AIDS patients. And I don't mean gave money. She did that, raised money, too. But she actually went when these dying, largely gay men at that time were considered to be complete pariahs, and where people believed if they sneezed in the same room you're in, you would die. And,
yep.
And it had a huge impact. You know, in some ways, it's a little bit comparable on a slightly smaller scale to Bloomberg's really valiant role in the mosque controversy in New York right
now. Well, exactly. Fill in Islamophobia, homophobia, fill in any of the, right.
Yeah, and I guess the other point I was making is that, you know, this is obviously an enormous civil rights battle. It's been going on for a while, but I do think that the Vaughn Walker decision, which will now ultimately, in one way or another, I assume, end up in the Supreme Court, was a real turning point.
Well, I mean, I think that when you have the Ted Olsons of the world speaking out, you know, certainly among others, Frank, that's, you know, sort of where I came to, is just I'm a very private person, but I thought, you know, this is no longer a partisan issue. It's a human rights issue. It's a civil rights issue. Dick Cheney has a gay daughter. You know, Newt Gingrich has a gay sister. Phyllis Schlafly has a gay son. Barry Goldwater has a gay grandson.
And I might say, you're related to a conservative Republican family.
Thank you.
Yes,
that's, somebody ought to do a study on that. But, you know, Frank, it really is. It is that moment in our history, like you say, when you talk about the Peabodys of the world or whoever, that, you know, that America reaches its ideals. It listens to its better angels instead of its own worst instincts. And to me, this is about being able to look your loved one in the eye and say, I love you, but I don't believe that you deserve the same rights that I have.
Right. I think that, you know, there's still... It's amazing how many of the arguments against full gay civil rights parallel the black civil rights battle of 40 and 50 years ago. For instance, there are still people, including, I might add, some a dwindling group, but some gay people who have argued for a gradualist approach. You know, civil unions, and it's separate but equal.
Separate but equal. Yeah.
You know, you either have this. Everyone has the same rights as an American, or they don't. It's that simple. It's in the very core of what makes America America. I do think, though, that the tide is turning. I don't know what's going to happen in the Supreme Court, but if you look at polling, it just is moving. It's moving much faster than it did on black civil rights, you know, and issues like interracial marriage way back then. And among young people, of course, it's almost a non-issue. And this
yep.
includes polling, by the way, among evangelical Christians.
But,
they
as
don't
you,
care either.
Right, and but as you point out, Frank, I mean, this is why we don't put minority rights to majority rule, because now you think, okay, well, great, let's go back to the polls in California. Now gay marriage has majority support.
But that never should be the principle. And
yes.
at the time that of the Loving decision in the Supreme Court on interracial marriage, the numbers were very, very high against interracial marriage, much
right.
higher than the numbers now against gay marriage.
Well,
so,
Frank, I have to tell you, I was on Larry King last week talking about this with Dennis Prager, who I like, who's a right-wing radio host. And, you know, it's interesting. I think during the commercial break, I flashed back to your article because he said to me, my niece is gay. I love my niece. She, you know, she stays with her partner at my house. I'm like, but you don't think she should have the same...
gay marriage?
Yes. I'm like, but you don't think she should have the same... rights, I mean, like that means something to say, oh, I really like her, and I really like her partner. partner, and I let them stay in my house. It's just
right. Like some of my best friends are blacks or
yes,
Jews.
I was like, oh boy,
whatever. But you know, it's also generational. My guess is that Dennis. I'm guessing Dennis Prager is probably in the 60s or so, and you know, this is a dying ember. I really, really strongly believe it. This is something we may actually see happen sooner rather than later.
Well, like you say, I mean, there are times in our history, and you know, you talk about the Peabody women. You know, my high school boyfriend died of AIDS in the very early, and I know what you mean about it was one of our tragedies. We let these people die in the shadows, you know, in this country, and I think there were people that, as you say, you know, this constitutes a high point in America's history when we struggle to live up to our democratic ideals, and we're at one of those moments, aren't we?
We are. You know, I got interested in, I never thought about gay civil rights at all, and I'm of an age where, you know, when I was in college, there were no openly gay people. I had a gay roommate. I didn't even know it. You know, it's amazing how much quickly this has changed. But because I worked as a theater critic in the 1980s at the Times, by complete coincidence, that happened to be when, of course, the AIDS epidemic started, and the first conspicuous death in New York that were not in the shadows were in the theater because some famous people died. And I think,
Michael Bennett,
why are these people being treated, you know, like not even second-class citizens? What the hell is going on here? And it's a very compelling issue. And it's tragic that it took the AIDS epidemic to even focus people, including myself, on the issue of gay civil rights.
Right. Frank, let me end by doing my favorite thing, and that is quoting you to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You just got to hear this. Boy. Frank Rich says, we are still a young, imperfect, unfinished country. As a young black man working as a nurse in the 1980s AIDS clinic memorably says in Tony Kushner's epic dramic Angels in America, the white cracker who wrote the national anthem knew what he was doing. He set the word free to a note so high nobody can reach it. But sometimes we do hit that note, however tentatively. How one wishes that the many gay Americans who were left to die in the shadows during that horrific time, and in most cases without a Judith Peabody, let alone a legal spouse by their side, could hear Judge Walker's clarion call. It made me cry, Frank Rich.
Thank you.
Making me cry again.
Thank
Your article
you.
Made me cry. Thank you, sweetie.
I love talking to you.
I love you too, honey. See you next week.
Take care. Oh. Bye-bye.
Aww.
Yay.
Aww.
Men still make me cry, and Mrs. Rich needs to be so nervous. Seriously. That's just the weird caveat. Just saying. Everyone has it. People don't like the whole gray areas, the whole fluidity. Just saying. All right.
Bless your heart.
Hey, there's a B in the GLT situation.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You're not here yet.
That's
Hal
right.
Sparks will be here next. Off days with
Hal.
Yeah,
we needed something to tease, Hal.
No, already said my JJ tracking device works too well. No. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm ready to play the jingle.
What jingle? Oh, he's here.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? I'm not myself right now.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Oh. Yes. It is too much for any liberal woman, Hal Sparks, following Frank Rich, okay?
Oh, my God.
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hiya. Yeah.
Came to Mama from Vegas. You drove all night.
I did.
Come home to me.
Or good evening or whatever. I have no sense of time right
and
now.
And he's flying out to Scotland tonight.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Aww.
It's true.
I'm telling you, liberal women everywhere are just, this is too much. I'm telling you, it is too much. Frank Rich and Hal Sparks in the same show.
He's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
Oh, by the way, I have guessed the quote for you.
Oh, nice.
This should
I'll
be easy.
All right.
It's kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on a second.
I'm already thinking, and you haven't even said it yet. This is me being pensive.
Thanks to Peabody's prominence, her example had a discernible effect in beating back ignorance and fear in New York. But 25 years ago, few could have imagined a larger narrative that might lead to full civil rights for gay Americans. That was change almost no one believed in. Nor could many have imagined a day would come as it did 10 days after Peabody's death, when a federal judge in San Francisco would rule it unconstitutional for same-sex couples to be denied the right to lawfully wed in sickness and in health. Who said that?
I'm going to go with Hot Stuff, the devil version of Richie Rich.
No, it's Frank Rich and Angels
in America. Right, Frank, sorry. Everybody does realize that Casper the Friendly Ghost and Hot Stuff were the devil and angel versions of the dead Richie Rich.
Really?
Creepy as they look at, they're all drawn identically the same.
Wow.
Yeah, creepy. But they,
Can we post a link to this up at stephaniemiller.com? The Peabody women were among the countless players in these larger civil rights dramas. They are testimony to the courage, big-heartedness, and sense of fundamental fairness that can flower in our country in the most unexpected quarters, even as the angry and more malign voices dominate the debate. And sometimes, over the long term, and obscenely long term in the case of black civil rights, the good guys and women can win real victories. Make no mistake about it, the Prop 8 trial, Judge Vaughn Walker's decision, and the subsequent reaction to it, as much as a non-reaction, constitute a high point in America's history long... struggle to live up to its democratic ideals.
George Liberace.
No. Oh. You're not playing right. Okay.
Sorry.
Frank Rich, Angels in America. Sorry. You got to read it.
It's my mistake.
All right.
I was just at the Liberace Museum yesterday. So.
Why are you going to Scotland?
I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this weekend.
Oh, I did that.
I'm performing, doing stand-up at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Fabulous.
That's sweet. Well, there you go.
Fabulous.
And then I'm in London at the Leicester Square Theatre next week.
Wow.
You're international.
I am.
He's an international man of mystery.
Yeah, well, there's not much mystery anymore. I kind of let it all hang
international
out.
Man of comedy.
Yes, right.
Whatever.
There's right, a little bit of mystery.
What do you think about Mosque? That's not really a mosque, not really Ground Zero.
You mean the
gate thing?
You mean the Burlington Coat Factory that's being turned into a cultural center that's named after the city that when the Muslims captured it, they set up a cultural center so that Jews and Christians and Muslims could coexist peacefully and exchange ideas in the world because they share a lot of commonalities in the base books that they use. Because
that doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, everything you just said.
Rats. sorry, Ground Zero Mosque, Gary, go, click.
Go, front, wow.
They should move it. That's what I heard Dennis Miller say. He said they should move it to be nice.
Yeah, Pamela Geller said that these people should give up their First Amendment rights in order to be sensitive.
I agree. And I feel the same way about Christians who want to build a church anywhere near the Oklahoma City building, federal building that was blown up by a Christian fundamentalist. And also anywhere where the Ku Klux Klan hung a black person in the South shouldn't have a Christian church anywhere near it because they are technically a Christian organization.
Yep.
Using the same logic or lack thereof that these folks have, that's how it should play out. And if you're going to be discriminatory, then you got to be discriminatory across the board, kids. Otherwise, it's un-American.
Exactly. Exactly. You need to be a you need to be a bigot all the way across if you're going to be consistent, at least.
And you have to stop saying God bless our mission in the Gulf and those kind of things. And,
right.
And the troops if you're going to argue that there's no religious component to
right.
our war.
I mean, well, as Frank Rich wrote so brilliantly, that it is undermining this whole strategy
totally.
And General Petraeus. I mean, it's...
The notion is absurd.
But it lays bare how political this is. And
of
this
course.
Is all about, you know... Obama's a secret Muslim and don't vote for Democrats in November.
Oh, it's, you know...
Obama is an other.
Muslims are the new gays who are the new blacks who are the new communists who are the, you know, it's absurd, like... The pot-smoking Hispanics from the 50s. Like, they basically just overlay this, like, cookie-cutter bad guy group.
By the way, you remember Nancy Pelosi called for transparency about who's funding this, the ugly attacks against the construction of the community center, and the right wing went insane.
You mean the Koch brothers?
Mm. The coalition leading the charge against the mosque, the coalition to honor Ground Zero? Huh. That's interesting, because it didn't seem like they were for health care for the Ground Zero workers or anything else.
Right.
And there's a big hole there still, so they're not for really actually putting anything there.
Or the fact that there were any Muslims that were killed on that day. Yeah.
It appears to be funded by a major neocon advocacy group with deep-pocketed donors and extensive connections to the conservative establishment. The coalition's website, StopTheNineElevenMosque.com, is registered to the Center for Security Policy, a neoconservative think tank, an advocacy group run by a Reagan defense official and a far-right hawk, Frank Gaffney.
Yes.
Screwy.
The coalition's partner include a who's who of far-right pundits, politicians, and neocons, such as Keep America Safe, the attack group formed by Liz Cheney and Bill Kristol.
Oh, so, Bill William the Bloody Crystal, who's yes. wrong all the time.
About everything
who's
ever.
Never been right.
Exactly.
Ever.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Frisch and Right Wing World on the Stephanie
nice.
Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. Can you? That's why I have Carbonite Online. It automatically backs up the files on your Mac or PC whenever you're connected to the Internet. Don't risk losing your important files. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter Stephanie, just the name, not for a free trial plus 2 months free with any...
You don't have to enter Stephanie to get that? Mm-hmm.
Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. By the way, it was primary day yesterday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kendrick Meek won in Florida.
Establishment
Lisa
candidate.
Lisa Mikowski fighting for her life up there in Alaska.
That's right.
In the Alaska Mean Girls movie with Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
Grampy McSame, there's a new idea in Arizona. John McCain won.
Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
But that does keep alive one dream, and that is that J.D. Hayworth and Brian Kilmeade can star in the stupidest sports show ever. That's what I'm thinking.
Both of them fit.
I smell a new sports show.
Yeah. Or they can come down and help him build the damn fence. Finish the fence. Get him or get those Mexicans off my lawn.
Yeah,
and
that dang
lawn,
fence
I mean
will get
state.
Finished now, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah,
I'm the guy who can do it.
Oh, and Dan Quayle's douche nozzle son won.
Which is awesome. Oh, my God. Well, another Democrat seat wrapped
ben
up.
Ben Dirty Scottsdale Quayle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to kick some butt up there. And the son of the dumbest vice president in the history of America is just the guy to do it. Because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, except when it lands on its head and ends up dumber than... The tree itself, yeah. as it were.
Lands on its head and falls down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
All right.
What an
let's,
idiot.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. Our friend Carl's here.
Yay.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Oh, it's always, it's Frisch every week. I never question our Frischness. Good morning,
Good
Carl.
Good morning.
How are you,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm so excited for Dan Quayle. Ben Quayle,
right.
the
yes.
congressman. Just so that I can film a YouTube commercial calling him the worst congressman ever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. It should be a big thing with, like, a picture of his dad next to him and just say, been there, done that.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, David Limbaugh, speaking of things not falling far from the big, fat, Oxycontin-riddled tree. Rush Limbaugh's brother.
I think if we don't reverse what he's doing to America, we will not bequeath the country that we grew up in, that our parents bequeathed us. We're bankrupting the country. And he has a God complex, a messianic complex. I mean, the guy thinks he has extraordinary powers. And basically, he's a radical leftist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
That is, he's
just... That last sentence, I thought he was talking about his brother.
He's the child of a lesser Limbaugh. That's have you ever seen the guy that what Tom Hanks' brother looks exactly like him do stand up?
Yeah.
It's a little bit strange. I mean, it's a bit like listening to a copy of Limbaugh that's been photocopied like 8,000 times and
yeah.
passed around to
the toner's run out.
It's a little weak. It doesn't have complete grasp of the English language.
Yeah.
Doesn't know where it wants to go. Certainly doesn't benefit from formerly nicotine-stained fingers.
yes.
So,
oh, dear.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why the Limbaugh brothers don't appear regularly on television.
Yeah, they're no Judds. So here's the Thomas Sowell. Who's that?
Sowell.
Yeah. On Limbaugh's show?
Uh-huh.
There are many people out there who started...
you know, unintentionally eroding all the values. I think the public schools are a major offender in this. There are organized groups in the country who are promoting these kinds of programs in the schools that undermine the values that kids have been taught in their homes in order to substitute other values.
So, you mean like for their Folgers crystals? What have we done? I don't even know what he's talking about.
Thomas Sowell is the author of a new book that attempts to blame every cultural problem at Barack Obama's feet.
Yep.
He and Arnold Schwarzenegger apparently go to the same linguistic coach.
Well, we've replaced their family values with Folger's socialist crystals.
Is it just me, or are these non-qualified statements? Because he's just saying substitute values for other values, because if he'd have to admit it, he'd have to say bad values, as in racist, homophobic, sexist values, replaced for
yes.
Non-racist, non-homophobic, non-sexist values that are inclusive. And they can't. That's what the culture war is about to them, and that's why they have to fight it.
They just want things the way they were, Hal, in 1950,
sure.
Before all of these
back
people
in the good
started
old days.
Getting all uppity and problematic.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. When water fountains, they didn't have to stand in line with all these other people.
Exactly. Okay, Pam Geller. Oh, isn't she delightful on the Hannity show on the not really a mosque, not really a Ground Zero game.
This is not a religious liberties issue. This is not a First Amendment right issue. This is a human compassion issue. That building is not near Ground Zero. That building is Ground Zero. That building was hit by a part of the plane. It's not that 600 feet. That's not going to play. That building is a war memorial. That building is a war memorial, and it should be a designated national landmark.
Burlington Coke Factory.
I see. So wait, mm-hmm. Back when the founding fathers, there weren't planes, so they couldn't have. So anywhere what they fell, see, they couldn't have known that there's no religious freedom there, Carl. You see what I'm saying?
No, she says it's not. People call it religious freedom. It's not religious freedom. I've heard people call her an idiot, and I'm pretty sure she is one.
have to agree with you there.
This is, you know, the only person who has benefited from the entire conversation over the Islamic Cultural Center is Pam Geller, and I think that's by design.
Mm-hmm.
She has brought her bigoted ass on television more times than one could dare book her for on any other subject, and she's routinely called words like the colorful person responsible for being against the proposed cultural center.
Isn't it ironic that the word
colorful is another way of saying bigoted? That's
yeah, right. I was going to say it's interesting how the word colorful is used to describe people that don't like people of color. Ironically enough.
In all fairness, though,
I was just getting used to the idea of being called a bachelor for so long.
Ironically, if you get a chance, I'm sure you've seen her blog. And it is,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's honestly, it's a great service to mankind, because normally you have to stand outside a Greyhound station at 2:00 in the morning to get conversation like that.
I'm not saying that her blog would tell you that she hates all Muslim people. Mm-mm. I'm just saying that she hates all Muslim people.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me say it a little more clearly.
Yeah.
All right, Carl Cameron on the Fox News on the Teabaggers.
The Tea Party movement writ large has lots of factions and organizations within it, and they often disagree with who they back. Tea Party, true conservative, pro-constitution, fiscally responsible Tea Party groups are fairly divided.
Fairly?
I saw the best sign finally. Teabagging is for nuts. Because it is.
That's funny.
Yes, go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I think Carl Cameron needs to get a new day job, because his reports are just getting more and more meaningless. It's been funny watching Fox try to respond to attacks on the network, whether it's they were the ones that basically created the Tea Party movement or the $1 million contribution to the Republican Governors Association. Glenn Beck's rally coming up being covered as a regular old news item. Because they respond as if they're actually a real news network when they try and cover it up by running reports like Carl Cameron's. It's kind of sad, really.
It is. Glenn Beck, speaking of which, on the radio.
You know why people have a problem with Barack Obama's policies, and they can't understand his policies in the Middle East and with this mosque and everything else?
Mm.
They can't understand it. You know why? Because we, for the first time in American history, have a president who thinks that this country is the bad guy.
Right.
Right. Right.
That's why he doesn't want to do preemptive strikes. That makes total sense.
No, Glenn Beck's the bad guy, actually. I don't think the president thinks that the country is the bad guy. You know, it's Glenn and everybody who thinks that this country is a horrible place, mm-hmm. That needs to be radically changed, and that it's so bad that they don't mind using revolutionary rhetoric about why the president needs to be replaced, and you know, don't worry about the signals that might be sending crackpots in their movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second Amendment solutions.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Laura Ingraham and Liz Cheney. Ah.
Yipe.
We apologize to those of you that need Cialis for me just even saying that. I said Laura Ingraham and Liz Cheney together.
Oh, quit it.
Now, I love the report card, the national security ratings that Keep America Safe had just released. Now, I'm noticing on this list, Liz, that every Democrat gets an F, although, you know, Lieberman gets a B.
Not everyone.
Everyone on my list, Reid, Pelosi, well, I agree with you, they should get an F.
Right.
And Boehner gets an A, but Barney Frank, F, Chris Dodd, F. Schumer, F. Who's the worst of all the performers here?
Well, I think you've got, you know, Reid and Pelosi certainly right at the top of the list in terms of the very worst. But this report card is based on 29 votes in the Senate, 27 votes in the House, looking at whether these people voted in a way that'll keep the nation safe and help us win the war.
Okay. Who did their little grading thing? Okay. I don't even know what that was about.
So you make up your own standard, hold
yes.
people to it, and then
exactly.
say that proves something. That's a great idea. Well, so I give them both F's in humanity.
Yes.
When you hand out the grades when you hand out the grades before the test, I suppose it's a little bit easier
right.
to make sure all the Democrats fail.
Wow. All right. Well, that concludes kind of a vomitous right-wing world. Carl, we appreciate your time as always.
Have a good one.
And I apologize to the men that will never get an erection ever again after picturing.
Oh, I'm doing Scared Turtle right now. It's really.
It's the patented Laura Ingraham orgasm,
harder.
As performed by the Stephanie Miller Players.
Harder, faster, slower. You're doing it wrong. Come on, Liz. Throw a little more weight into it.
Viagra futures just went up.
Yeah. God.
Okay, you know.
So to speak, as it were.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We even have time to do the show with all these stupid things on the internet that distract us.
Yeah.
Who's the surprise kitty? Surprise kitty!
Kitty.
Oh, the surprise kitty.
A dancing panda.
Yeah, has anyone seen Surprise Kitty? It's a little kitten, right? And they keep like, what do they do?
Tickle him,
and he goes, and his feet go up. It's a stupid cat. Yeah. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't work that way in my experience. Cats do not like their stomach touch.
Some of them respond to it as an attack, as if you're
yes.
Yeah, so
yeah, no, a friend's cat is like, no, touch it, look, I'll be surprised, kitty, and then it's like,
surprise.
And then I get like,
well, yeah, you're the one who gets the surprise.
Yes, I get the surprise and the contusions. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Am I saying that right? Thisbia in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, you did great with my name. They told me you were going to butcher it, but you did
well. It's weird. Oh, really hard names I get right. I don't know why.
And it's English. You know, it's waspy, but really I try to go with it at parties. But
would you like to buy a vowel? Because I...
Thisbia? Yes. So, yeah, you said it right, Thisbia. But anyhow, it was so ironic. My kids were running around, and suddenly my radio was attacked by demon spawn. No, I'm just kidding. But it went to Fox News. Sorry,
yikes.
Did I say that on the air?
Yikes.
And, it was so weird. It just kind of switched. I must have hit it, or I don't know. It was just weird. But the guy was talking about the mosque and all this talk about the mosque and everything like that. And he was saying that the waiter, I don't know, so I only caught a little bit of it, but it kind of flew me. And so I thought you would have an answer to this. that they said that somebody funding for the mosque, it was a waiter, had no money, and now suddenly has $18,000 in account, which is not a lot by some standards. Of course, I wish I had $18,000 in my account, but they were saying that the money was in question about the mosque, and I thought,
I know this
is just Fox News being, you know, a bunch of turds, but...
Yeah, that's usually the explanation to go with.
Yeah, the majority...
A lot of the funders.
Yes!
Yeah, a lot of the funding actually comes via one of the major stakeholders in News Corp.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, look at that. The guy who has almost a quarter of holdings in News Corp, the largest private holder outside
of Fox News.
Yes, here are the fun facts. Yesterday morning on the Fox and Freaks, a Fox News contributor, Dan Senior, observed that the Kingdom Foundation, whose chairman, Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, as Tom Brokaw would say.
Tom Brokaw.
Fox News parent company News Corp's second largest shareholder is a funder of the Cordoba House Initiative. Interesting, the Kingdom Foundation, so you know, this is a Saudi organization headed up by the guy that tried to give Rudy Giuliani $10 million after 9/11 that was sent back funds to radical madrasas all over the world, Senior, and said, and he funds this imam. Fox host and brain trust Brian Kilmeade chimed in. Last night at The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, who last week labeled Fox News a terrorist command center, mocks the Fox Network for its own association with Prince Al-Waleed.
Mm-hmm.
This is the proposed terror mosque. We know that it's the terror mosque because the money may be coming from a bad guy who definitely owns part of Fox News. Now, we know he's bad guys because we just heard it on Fox News. And by hearing it on Fox News, watching Fox News, I'm increasing your viewership and their advertising rates go up. Now, part of that money goes to the bad guy we learned about on Fox because he's in their part owner, Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, allowing him to then make it rain, so to speak, on the terror mosque. My point is, if we want to cut off funding to the terror mosque, we must together as a nation stop watching Fox.
Exactly.
That's the only way. Thank you, Jon Stewart.
Yeah, and they're promoting policies that they actually know contribute to the sectarian violence and to the terrorist organizations as a recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep having people like John Bolton on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who basically, you know, is the most thinly cloaked, we need to nuke all Muslims to save ourselves.
I believe he said, Jim, didn't he say in 8 days? We need to bomb Iran within 8 days.
Israel.
Yes.
Israel
needs
to
bomb Iran
within 8 days.
That was,
then it'll be
that
too
was
late.
It was 9 days ago.
Yeah.
Chris in Chicago on the Glenn Beckapalooza rally coming up. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the human compassion that I think Laura Ingraham was speaking of. If there's not a better example of human compassion needed, it's Glenn Beck and his rally on Washington on the anniversary of Martin Luther King. I mean, personally...
How fast is Martin Luther King spinning, I wonder, at this particular point?
That is so offensive to me, as you know, people say they want their country back. Well, my dad grew up in a country where in 1950 in small town Alabama, he had no rights. So when these people say they want their rights back, the rights that Martin Luther King actually had that rally for, and I'm not painting a broad stroke on Glenn Beck and his listeners, but it's clearly he's made so many bigoted statements and everything like that. If you want to, like, you know, compare Muslims and saying all Muslims are radical because of few actions, then I'll say the whole Tea Party is racist because of Glenn Beck's bigoted statement.
I wonder if we'll see some pictures of Obama with a bone through his nose.
Mm. Right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think I remember what kind of wine you like. Large.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Tomorrow, Joan Rivers joins us in Hour 1, Representative Alan Grayson in Face the Grayson, and Jennifer Palmieri from the Center for American Progress. Oh, all on the big show tomorrow. We are at HalSparks.com right now, video streaming.
Yes, at HalSparks.com/Ustream. And you can join the chat there, or you can join on Twitter at Hal Sparks.
And I appear to be in an aquarium that hasn't been cleaned recently.
I changed your picture. See,
okay.
That camera is the oldest one I have, and it just kind of white balances on its own.
By the way, Jim, I don't mean to whine about people stealing from us, but did you see Stephen Colbert?
I heard about this.
Oh, again. They keep doing
said,
that.
Mitch McConnell said, I'll have to take President's
word
for
thing.
It. Yes, that he's, and he said, I'll have to take your word for it that you're not a human turtle
yes.
hybrid. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want to feed that man some lettuce.
That was a repeat because I remember when that came on. It was like the day after, or the night after we established that he was a turtle.
We don't mean to whine.
It's an honor that they steal from us.
We did it first.
They've been doing it for years.
Right.
Seriously, I say something here, and it's on the Daily Show that night.
We don't get any, what's the word I'm looking for? Money, though.
No.
I used to have a similar arrangement with Politically Incorrect when I would do open mics around Los Angeles. And guys in jeans.
It's a loose arrangement.
Yeah.
Whereby?
Guys with jean jackets that said Politically Incorrect on the back would come and see my friends perform with and myself. And
taking
suddenly
notes.
Our jokes would magically appear. Look at that.
All right. We're just a little whining.
All right. Well, writers get a little desperate. They've got deadlines.
Yeah.
I like that one. Let's take that one. Well, I'll change a word.
You're just sitting in the back with legal pads. I'm going to cave your head in with a brick. Get out of here.
Try to be a little more, circumspect. Man. George and Tempe.
Can you say that again? Let me record about it.
Is it clear now? Is it okay to talk to you about politics without having to bring up your sexuality and how proud I am of you?
Yeah, all right. For God's sakes, move along. Go
Maybe.
Ahead.
All right, well, although if you do want to talk about your first girl on Girl Experience, I'm all ears.
All right, fine.
I'm kind of upset because in Arizona, which, is a red state, it's not a super red state, it's 55-45, but the polls showed that about 2-1 Republican turnout, and that scares the crap out of me.
Mm.
Really
yep.
scares. Hal, you'll love this. I mean, I did a lot of reach out with the Democratic Party and signed a lot of people up for early voting, and I think it's something we have to do. We've got to turn the vote out, otherwise we're screwed in November.
Yep,
I totally agree.
And screwed for years to come.
Yeah. Yep. I think the interesting thing is I think they had a lot more, infighting, as it were, in their primary in Arizona than the Democrats did.
Yeah.
And the turnout was really this GOP against the Tea Party crowd, which is happening a lot. They're showing up a lot for these primaries, but they're dividing almost down the middle.
Maybe they'll be all out of bullets by November. So they'll just be like,
only half of them.
They'll have shot their wad.
Right.
We spent all our energy
only
fighting.
Only half of them are going to show up for whatever that actual person is. So that 2-1 is going to kind of even out to the actual, and we just need to motivate our base.
However, Hal, I wonder what could be demoralizing the base. It's when it's not Wednesdays and my happy, clappy liberal friend is here. There's some naysaying mooks. That is talking down the president constantly and dispiriting the base, and then suddenly pretend to be...
I don't want to dispirit the base. I want them to go out and vote. I want them to push Obama to be true to his campaign.
That's true, but I think a lot... The fact of the matter is, if you look at the legislative agenda and look at what they've actually done, they're getting a ton of it
done.
They're
getting a lot done.
And more so than Bush in 8 years and 18 months.
Right.
And the problem is, and I have this big problem with HuffPo right now, is that they're just barking liberals off the cliff, acting like nothing is happening. And their headlines are BS. They scare the crap out of people, like yellow journalism, just trying to get people motivated to read the articles. And then when you do read the articles, you're like, oh, that's not that bad. But most people don't. They don't read past the first, read the first line and then the first paragraph, and it's all scary.
Yes.
And then they Twitter
about it. And the thing I mentioned yesterday that you should keep in mind when voting is that Fox News and the Republicans are trying to, they want terrorists to kill you or salmonella.
Uh-huh.
Let me explain why. Because Shirley Sherrod is no longer at the...
at the US?
Yeah.
Yeah, USDA. See, that's why. The egg
USDA.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the USDA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Senate's year-long failure, by the way, to pass a food safety overhaul has hampered the ability of the Obama administration to quickly recall the 600 million eggs connected to the salmonella outbreak that has sickened nearly 2,000 people. Experts and lawmakers say the House approved its version of the food safety bill in July 2009. How many times have we heard this? The House approved it. That was more than 60 recalls of FDA products ago, according to a report by the Make Our Food Safe Coalition, which they may be interested in something to do with making our food safe, I'm guessing. Senate has continued to drag its feet once again. The pressure is now on Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who has consistently pushed the bill to the back burner. Lawmakers, aides, and analysts say Reid must bring the bill to the floor when the Senate returns in September.
I think food safety is overrated.
Of major deficiencies in a nearly century-old regulatory system, one of the worst food-related outbreaks yet. Mm-hmm. Without the muscle of an updated law to actually carry out these rules, we're afraid of more outbreaks like these, said the group's director. This is really an object lesson in why we need food safety legislation. Current law is so weak that it does not permit the FDID to authorize recalls. Instead, the government must rely on the responsible parties to issue recalls themselves, a loophole that often translates into weeks or months of negotiations between the government and companies afraid of losing profits before contaminated food gets called back.
Hey, there's that old business solutions to everything. The old, you know what? We should just let businesses regulate themselves.
Yes.
There's a free market answer to this. 20 million dead people can't buy eggs from that company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have learned their lesson because they'll be burying a dead relative, and they'll go, well, maybe we should stop eating eggs from that company now. As you know, we can. This should. I mean, it's logical, isn't it? I mean, this is what Rand Paul is really shooting for.
Yes. Aqua Buddha told me that there should be no regulations at all, and that would fix the problem.
Yeah, you know, look, the free market will fix this. The ones
He said we should worship Aqua Buddha and the free market.
Population,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll correct itself.
Exactly. You're culling the herd.
People will stop eating eggs, and no problem.
It's two birds with one egg.
Yeah.
What? Well, Bethany in Chicago.
Oh, hell, I'm such a big fan.
Oh,
I love
your
show in Chicago.
Thank you.
And you allow me to say free Roger Christie because he's being held under the Patriot Act. And I just wanted to call when you said Muslims are our new. I was thinking Japanese because I remember, like, mid-'80s going down south with my Japanese fashion of the day and that, you know, and then finding out about it. Atrocities, which I didn't learn in high school, and, you know, just history repeating itself and the right always being on the wrong side of human rights issues and
Bethany,
some babies and fascism.
Right. Some Republican candidate actually did suggest internment camps for illegal immigrants, thinking that was a good idea
from
our history.
Yeah.
Hey, we've done
that remember
before.
That worked that time before, let's do it again.
Meanwhile, they're the ones who brought up during, all through the Obama's presidency so far that Obama's going to put people he disagrees with in internment camps and re-educate them.
Yes.
Michelle Bachmann actually said re-education camps. They viewed FEMA camps and the collection of these big plastic bins for use in containing bodies in the case of a huge national emergency because that's the responsible
thing
to do.
And she's for smaller government unless she wants the president to commandeer
boats.
Like he's in that action film where you got to just take someone's car because you means you're I'm in pursuit. Get off your car.
Yeah, right.
Motorcycle.
Suddenly they're all for big government if it's like Bruce Willis in the Coast Guard Pittsburgh movie, whatever that was.
Yes.
The amazing point to me is that they're so small government except they want the government big enough to have an armed guard standing at the entrance to every woman's womb so she can be forced to carry a baby to term if she's raped. And if God forbid, it's incest, she has to inform her dad.
I don't want armed guards near my po-po.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or the relative who actually raped her. And we need a cop. We need a government official to make sure she carries a baby to term. That's small government conservatism. They're cheap
Speaking
labor
of government officials or not, Shirley Sherrod, who was vilsacked, said,
computer says no.
No, thank you. After a 90-minute meeting with Tom Vilsack, that she has not accepted the department's offer to work there again. No word on whether he's accepted her offer to kiss her black ass. I don't know if that was offered.
Right.
She said she wants some type of relationship with the department later. Shirley Sherrod yesterday.
I did enjoy that work and would want to see that work continue. I just don't think at this point, with all that has happened, I can do that either in the new position that was offered or as state director for rural development in Georgia.
How many times have you heard a chick say that, guys? Look forward to some type of relation, maybe in the future, maybe sometime the time after when exactly.
Yeah.
Well, when hell freezes over, then that time after that, maybe we could have some sort of future.
When it melts again and then freezes over again.
Yes.
After that, maybe we can talk.
Right.
You know, the thing about food, having safe food now, it's a matter of having enough money to buy organic food, cage-free.
That's your free market thing. If you were supposed to survive, you'd be rich enough to shop at Whole Foods.
Right.
This is the Rand Paul
full
situation. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. If you've got enough money to
afford
organic.
If you can't afford arugula, you're a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it should be your spinach should be tainted with salmonella if you have to buy it at Ralph's or any other normal chain.
Exactly.
You know, it's your ass. And kids, if you were smart, you'd have been born to rich parents because you just don't deserve any kind of preschool training unless your parents can pay for it special.
Right.
Sorry.
All right.
Why do you think of that before you were born? You had all that time in the womb as a human being who was already conscious.
Damn dumb liberal fetuses.
Yeah, you should have gone, wait a minute. This lady? Forget about it. Right.
All right. I'm struggling to get back to the Shirley Sherrod story.
Yeah, right.
because
this placenta is substandard.
That's right.
I simply can't.
Come on, that news conference was a little awkward. Little breakup, little,
awkward.
Yeah. When she said she wants to take a break. You know, you've heard it. You've heard it all.
Oh, absolutely.
And take a break.
I want to see other people.
Maybe at some point. I want to see other agriculture people. Maybe sometime in the future we'll have something. Shirley Sherrod.
I've had lots of support from around the country. I've had many, many, many thousands of pieces of mail. Many of those I would like to answer. I need a little time to be able to deal with that. Take a break from some of all that I've had to deal with over the last few weeks.
And I bet some of those letters would require the intervention of the FBI.
Mm-hmm. It's like that commercial where the woman, they're sitting, and she texts him the breakup.
Yeah.
I'm single on Facebook already.
Uh-huh.
Wait, but we're just sitting.
Hey, have you checked your Facebook?
I need a break. I need a break from what? From you. Anything that involves you is what I need a break from.
Right.
I got a lot of letters of support after you broke up with me, and so I need a little break from you.
In fact, it would be helpful if you would move to another planet.
Mm-hmm.
That would work for me.
Stunning.
Didn't I learn a lot from this? Yes, I learned that you are Satan.
You suck.
Yes,
yeah.
You suck. That's what I learned.
And
thanks
you're completely
for
untrustworthy. And if I ever go through a challenging thing where I have to say something meaningful, I have to worry about your inability to interpret such thing as positive, and I might get fired again because you are a stupid person.
Here's the maybe something in the future with the.
I look forward to some type of relationship with the department. In the future, we do need to work on the issues of discrimination
of your
and racism in this country. And I certainly would like to play my role in trying to help deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, she said. We'll be back with the he said part 46 minutes after the hour. Right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. 51 minutes after the hour, when it's just like stepping on a poodle, isn't it? No! Oh, sorry, Prince. Didn't see you there. 1-800-STEP-1-2. So little. No! 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. No! Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Ken in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Maybe I'm happy-clappy, but I, especially Hal. I mean, the mooks are kind of in their own world, and they tend to look everything with
it's a mookapalooza. I don't who knows what goes on there.
This thing with Glenn Beck and the fact that they're basically just kind of feeling their oats and doing silly crap like going out and Martin Luther King thing, and I'm assuming that even though he doesn't want those signs to be out there, they'll be out there.
Oh, yeah.
The times that people vote are when they're angry and when they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be angry, but they're kind of making us scared.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all the dark people, all the slanty-eyed people, all the people that don't have a cross in front of their lawn, or they're starting to get afraid, and they're thinking they're coming after them.
Yeah.
So
how offensive is it on so many levels? First of all, Martin Luther King was all about other people. Glenn Beck, even people in right-wing circles are whispering, this is all about Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
That's what Glenn Beck's cause is.
Well, the other thing is... How does the GOP actually have a strategy that over time they are going to alienate everyone? You know, the joke used to be that they were the grumpy old men, grumpy old white men party. And now they're actually arguing for that point. Muslims, gays, Hispanics, blacks, everybody. They are systematically, it's not even like they're loosely talking in code anymore.
No.
They're actively going after each member of this group and assuming... They're not going to show up to vote.
Yeah.
Assuming that they don't care enough to vote for their own interests.
Beck has dubbed the rally Restoring Honor.
Man,
That one made me puke.
It'll be a historic pivot point that will recenter American public life around its founding principles.
Which are what?
Think a lot
slavery?
Of ourselves?
Yeah.
Wow. Meanwhile, many blasting the event as a partisan political rally intended to boost Republicans headed into the critical 2010 midterms. They've also accused Beck of exploiting civil rights iconography to advance his cause. Beck's
what?
Rally scheduled 47 years to the day after Martin Luther King delivered his I Have a Dream speech. Hmm. On nearly the same spot at the Lincoln Memorial where King spoke. Is he just deliberately trying to
poke people
annoy
with a stick?
Us?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he just want to make like a photo negative of the picture? Like he's always
yes.
like, I'm guessing he has a photo negative of that picture of Martin Luther King on the thing. Imagine if that was all white people and it was all
yes.
they were all white talking about how important
they were
white. We could do that.
Mm, let's,
that's
we need to restore honor, the kind of honor we had in the 50s when you could lynch people and get away with
right,
it.
When
the
women
rally
had,
will be keynoted by Sarah Palin. Beck has received financial and promotional assistance from the NRA, Orrin Hatch, a bunch of Tea Party groups, Freedom Works, Tea Party Patriots, Americans for Prosperity,
KKK, American Nazi Party,
Koch
what?
Brothers.
No, the
Koch brothers.
Quiet.
Also known as the Koch brothers.
One Tea Party Patriots leader said, I call it Beckapalooza because it seems to be all about Beck. When the Patriots were deciding whether to help with Saturday's rally, the leader said there was some internal queasiness over the MLK link and Beck's inflammatory rhetoric, including his blasting of Obama as a racist.
I can't wait for him to read selected readings from the Overton
window. Overton window. There's nothing to do with Rick Overton.
Yes, no.
Keith actually mentioned Rick the other night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was cool.
Dennis in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys. I'm just going to say the reason why you guys are getting absolutely trounced in every single poll is because you're...
Dennis, hang on. Hang on, Dennis. Go back.
Okay.
Actually, in every poll, a Democrat, while everybody hates Congress, pretty much all of them, they hate Republicans more.
Yeah, by a 36% to 26%. Uh-huh. Percent.
Well, just
full
about
10%
every single Senate race
just
and
about,
Congress race.
Say just about.
But anyway, my point is... Your game plan consists of two things. One is play the race card, which is it don't even work anymore.
We're playing the race card. So Glenn Beck saying the president is racist against white people, that's us playing the race card?
He's got Martin Luther King's niece that's going to be there. I mean, how is that racist?
I'm sorry, Glenn Beck has Martin Luther...
Coretta Scott King is going to be there. I mean,
she's dead, sir.
Anyway,
thanks for playing along.
Yeah, Martin Luther King himself is going to be there.
He's going to show up
on the internet.
He's a big Glenn Beck fan.
What? Uh-huh. He's dead?
I didn't hear that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's different then.
That was game over, man. Game over for him.
Y'all are getting trounced in every poll.
Yeah.
Oh, except that one.
Yeah.
And that one, and that one. But that's not my point. My point is...
You play the race card. Every time we say something racist, y'all play the race card.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, stop being racist. That is a race card.
And anytime we say N-word,
why don't you explain to me, girly girl, why Coretta Scott King's going to be there?
Yeah, right.
On Glenn Beck's shoulders.
Look. I read on the internet that Glenn Beck is going to channel the spirit of Coretta Scott King. He's going to stand there and
put
do
on
her
a
voice.
Dress. Mm-hmm. And
as wow. part and sections of the Christmas sweater and also read something from the Overton window.
All right, someone on Hal Sparks Live Blog says that Shirley Sherrod should call Dr. Laura for advice on her relationship with Tom Vilsack.
Right.
Just to
here's what I think. N-word.
Oh, that's funny. All right, here's the he said part of the he said. She said.
I didn't speak to anyone at the White House. As I said earlier, this was my responsibility, and I had to take full responsibility for it, and I continue to take full responsibility for it. I will take it for as long as I live. This was, I pride myself on the work that I do. I disappointed the president. I disappointed this administration. I disappointed the country. I disappointed Shirley. I have to live with that.
Yeah.
Really,
you do.
She didn't actually say talk of the hand, but I heard the
soundtrack.
It's too late to apologize. It's too late.
I think he grabbed her by the wrist and put her hand in his face. just let me talk to the hand just for a second. I can't
Please.
Talk to the rest of you. Just let me talk to your hand.
58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. This Rock'em Sock'em robot dancing on HealthSparks.com on the Ustream brought to you by Carbonite. Oh, we can freeze that. I can't risk losing my important files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. It automatically backs up your Mac or PC whenever you connect it to the Internet. Don't risk you losing your important files. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter Stephanie for a free trial. Plus two, you get a free
enter
trial.
Stephanie?
Plus 2 months free
for
with
a free trial
subscription. Carbonite.com, enter offer code Stephanie.
That sounds like a terrific offer.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone's been there. StephanieMiller.com is...
Well, now you can legitimately say that. You literally cross all boundaries.
Party in there. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris the Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks drove all night from Vegas to be with Mama.
It's
my,
true.
The tracking device in my the JJ.
I've been driving all night. My hands been on the wheel.
I have a, what do you call it? A tractor beam.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have
JJ a tractor beam.
I project a giant H on the wall of the...
the Disney building.
The NBC building across the street when I need Hal. It's like the bat thing, the bat signal.
Is that why there's always an H?
It comes directly from my vajayjay.
Right.
Huh? Giant H.
That's gross.
Hal!
Then you can slide down the Hal pole.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
God. All right.
Enough said.
Into the Hal cave. What? No.
All right. Listen, kids.
All right. There you go.
Now, we mentioned earlier our favorite. Why do we get distracted by kitty things on the internet so much? I don't know. The little kitty was surprise kitty. Ah!
Yeah.
Love that.
Adorable.
Oh, we love it. We also like cats who look like WilfredBrimley.com, one of our personal favorites.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
We
if
enjoy.
You've got diabetes. For my diabetes,
you might need.
I look at pictures of cats.
Get your testing supplies delivered to your house.
We love this is why you're fat.com, and we're hoping someone does an adjunct site, this is why I'm gay.com. Here is another one out of Port Angeles, Washington. A man in a banana costume is accused of exposing himself and brandishing a shotgun.
Wow.
While riding around with a bunch of friends in Washington
State.
That's
overkill.
Yeah.
After his arrest,
banana, shotgun, and the other thing. What?
After his arrest, authorities say the man couldn't explain why he was costumed. There's no explanation for that.
That I believe. That
I would think his junk would suffer by the comparison between a shotgun and a banana.
You would never, exactly. And then you whip the third thing out, and people are like, that's disappointing.
That is, okay, you know what, that's too many phallic symbols in one. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's compensating.
Okay.
Can you get Freudian tickets? Did they actually write Freudian tickets? Because you could actually get fined for that level of Freudian intricacy.
The Stephanie Miller Show needs to issue a very rare apology, only because, and this is a human thing, Hal, and you got me in this trouble.
I did.
Reportedly, right-wing radio host Dennis Prager is very upset with me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Yes. And I apologize because I think he's a good man. I just disagree with him on everything ever in the history of the world. But we were on Larry King, and we were supposed to be there talking about Prop 8. And he started talking about how Catholic Charities got kicked out of Massachusetts because...
Right.
Gay adoption or
whatever.
Which what I was more annoyed with is that he was trying to distract from the issue.
Right.
And like, oh, look, children, gays over here. You know what I mean?
It was
and I said, what we were saying later is when you don't have the Google with you live on these shows.
Yes.
And I didn't mean to say call him a liar, but Catholic Charities did not get kicked out. They left.
Yeah.
Of their own accord because they didn't want to, you know.
Participate.
Yes.
Right.
Anyway, I think Dennis Prager is a good man. I apologize. I didn't mean to call him a liar.
But he was.
Stop it! See, you're getting me in trouble.
No, I'm not. I'm calling him a liar. And you can still think he's a good man. I think he's awful. I think he's an awful person.
That was Hal Sparks, not Stephanie Miller.
And I will stand by that, Dennis Prager. I think you're disingenuous and a fool. And And I really think that if he's going to go on TV, lie like that, and then get called on it simply on, you're mistaken, they didn't get kicked out, they left of their own accord because of their unwillingness to provide services for people, then you deserve to be called out on things like that. And if he has a problem with that, then he has a problem with himself, not anybody else.
Well, thank you for completely tractor pulling over my apologies. So that was making it worse.
I'm only on one day a week. You can totally shovel it off on me, and I'm here for free. You can't, I can't be fired. There's all kinds of things like, sorry, Dennis.
No, he was trying to make some hypothetical point that had nothing to do with Prop 8. It was like, are you saying that a man and a woman aren't better to raise a child? It's like, well it depends on which man and which woman.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's a drunk and a wife beater and she's a drug addict, then
right.
No.
Absolutely.
Like, what,
you have to understand, he comes from that point of view where a single mom, no matter if she's a military widow,
right.
is unfit to raise her own child
because
alone.
Because she doesn't have a man.
Because she doesn't have a man, yeah. and yeah. she best go get one lest
Any
she
man.
Raise a broken child. And that is what is horribly offensive, especially to people who've been raised very well by single moms. We have one in the White House right now
mm-hmm.
who's a very educated, intelligent human
yeah.
being.
But he's black.
Right.
Others may not even notice. Am I the only one? Oh, my God.
And speaking, the funny thing is they wanted to get rid of his dad the whole time.
Speaking of the Family Values Party, Brock Landers won the...
Brock Landers.
The most porn-ready name ever. Brock Landers. Boink.
Dan Quayle.
Hi, I'm Brock Landers.
I'm Rod Brockett.
Are you two okay?
So you ordered extra sausage on your pizza.
Hi, I'm Brock Landers. Has anybody
Otherwise
seen my
known
pants?
As Dan Quayle's douche nozzle son,
no.
Ben, won his primary. Campaigning as a family values conservative, he first denied admitting he wrote for a sex-steeped Arizona website, Dirty Arizona.
Give that man a potato. Give that man a potato-y.
One of the quotes he said is, "My moral compass is so broken I can barely find the parking lot." He also sent out that campaign mailer, you know, on family values with two little girls in there, but they actually weren't his kids. But other than that,
he's a family man, just not his family.
Right, it's Clipart family.
What's this guy? It's like a kidnapper saying, I'm a great dad.
Look, one of the things that Brock wrote on the Dirty Scottsdale was...
all the kids in my basement.
Mm-hmm. Long story short, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm awesome.
Oh, God.
He boasted of his physique, comparing it to Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel.
What?
Doesn't
make sense, does it?
Michelangelo's
No,
David?
He's Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel.
That's the painting on the
on
ceiling.
On the ceiling. It's
and
not
it's actually very
the...
large, so...
Right.
I don't know what that...
I don't know. It involves two fingers, what that means.
I bring you Dan Quayle's douche nozzle son.
Right.
Ugh, he just looks like a Richie Rich little...
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
I'm a bit like Michelangelo's Mona Lisa.
Right.
What a douche. What? The Sistine Chapel. At least get your references
My
right.
My DNA looks like a Jackson Pollock.
And the 16th chapel's much better than the 15th one.
Yeah, right.
I've been to both of them. And,
but we should repeal the 14th chapel because we shouldn't let babies be born in churches if
May
they're
I
not
May I say this about
it.
His political philosophy? It's Edvard Munch's The Scream.
Yeah,
all right. I got your art references right here.
There you go.
Edvard Munch.
Edvard
Munch.
Munch.
Yeah. She was pretending to be him, not getting it right.
Eddie Munster. We'll call him Eddie Munster.
Dave in Chicago. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I have somebody to take you to task for using the race card, so to speak.
Right.
I've been conversing, debating, discussing with some with somebody on YouTube that has the username Jigaboo Slayer.
Oh.
And the first thing I did, the first thing I did was take them to task for using the name Jigaboo Slayer. And the very next comment I got was, "Hey, why are you using the race card?
You're playing the race card."
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what? Then maybe it's me. I wouldn't really want to engage in conversation with anybody
with that name.
Handle.
Yeah, right.
I really didn't want
they have a block.
I don't think we need to start that.
Yeah, they have a block feature for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a zero tolerance policy on my Twitter, as some have found, as far as, you know, like violence and those kind of things and any kind of name like that. You can just kind of split. I block and report and mute you. There are three options on Twitter, which are fantastic, and I use all three at once.
Block and report. Wasn't that Seth Rogen movie in the mall?
Yes, totally.
Okay, yeah.
I think the question of the hour is, has Shirley Sherrod spam blocked Tom Vilsack yet?
Yes.
Has she blocked this sender, Tom Vilsack, yesterday?
Despite this difficulty, despite the challenges and the problems that we've seen and that poor Shirley had to go through, maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity for the country to have the kind of conversation that Shirley thinks we ought to have. And maybe, just maybe, this will put a spotlight, not necessarily on this incident, but with all of this media attention, maybe there will be a spotlight on the efforts that USDA is making in the area of civil rights.
All right, and one last Tom Vilsack yesterday at the awkward press conference.
I came into this office committed to trying to close the chapter of civil rights that has been a difficult chapter for USDA and a very sordid chapter. We want to create a new chapter. And that's this unfortunate circumstance has at least given us the opportunity to have that conversation with the nation, which, you know, if it's personal pain I have to endure for that, I'm happy to take that.
So I'm get myself in the bill sack.
Have you guys been in that position? You just you can't say you're sorry enough, and she still won't take you back.
I've racked myself in the bill sack, so I have personal pain for this.
But don't martyr yourself at the same time. Yeah, like, just take it. Yeah. Don't throw in the, if I have to take the hit so that everyone else can live
so
happily.
Be it.
Like, oh, God. Shut
I
up.
I will be the hero of you, my own ass-hattedness.
Yeah. You bent up and took it up the kill mead.
What?
And then you want to act like you weren't responsible. That's not. Yeah.
Oh dear, sorry. Jim. I was worried that Drunky McPuke Shoes Tom DeLay might have been at Barfy's Bar and Grill. The money laundering case against him is moving forward.
Yay!
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was cleared.
Not so much, Skippy. Former U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay will get his long-awaited trial on money laundering indictments ahead of two co-defendants.
For a trial.
DeLay and his attorney called the decision a victory.
Yes!
His we win!
Yeah.
Ha! Because I'm going to get my truth.
I'm fine. I was dancing with the stars. These shoes.
Come see me, you're puking with the stars.
He says his next goal is to get his trial moved to his home county, conservative Fort Bend in the Houston area, where he says he's more likely to get a fair jury trial than in liberal Austin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it should be much more.
Where his friends are. What?
How does he get this to decide?
If conservatives don't stand up to liberalism, no one will.
The prosecutor rejected earlier motions by all three defendants to toss out the indictments for an assortment of reasons. I always love that. Remember, Johnny Cochran tried that. Hey, can we just drop this? No? Okay.
Okay.
I guess they have to try. Can we just throw it out? Oh, okay, no. Generally speaking, the defense is standing in a deep hole with a very short stick on all these issues, the prosecutor said. If convicted of the money laundering charge, DeLay could face up to 5 to 99 years or life in prison.
Yay.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, it's a gift certificate.
Oh, time to join Dancing with the Inmates.
Who wants
Dancing with the Prisoners.
Who wants dirty money? You can have all of it, because it's very it's dirty.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the effects attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments.
Violence.
And offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander.
Slander.
That's the truth.
This is the truth.
God, you got to give him credit for how many times he tries a word. The nobody help me.
The badness.
God bless him. That man is drunk all the time. Always. Every time I've ever seen him on television. Drunk.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Senior senator.
I will get it.
I got it. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
I got it handled.
Does anybody have a hat I can throw up in?
Heavens. Think of all the important files you have saved on your computer.
Wow.
Photos, financial records, contact lists. I'm sure Tom DeLay has a list of everywhere he can get the best bourbon.
I got bars ranked in my neighborhood by closeness.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. Oh, like this is a coincidence on a liberal, communist, socialist show. Chris Lavoie just hit, 666 members on his Facebook page.
Facebook fan page has 666.
Who is the last one, Satan? Satan, the 666th to join. Okay.
Your mother sews socks that smell.
Right.
I just friended Satan.
Wow.
You can also have 999 friends if all the Satanists stand on their
on
heads.
On their heads, yes.
Yeah. They're I'll all switch. Because they all do yoga, so that makes sense. Yoga is the devil's work.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because it's not Christian!
All right, Tracy in Los Angeles. Hi, Trace.
I just wanted to say that, you know, give a little warning before you put another one of those callers on the air. I spit coffee all over my car.
Oh, super, oh, super Christian
Perez
Diane?
Scott King was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
At Glenn Beck Revit. I just wanted to know if Frederick Douglass might be attending as well.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, right-wingers and facts, not so much.
Rosa Parks is taking a bus to the actual...
To be night. With Glenn Beck.
Yeah,
right.
Because he's so not a racist.
Hand in hand.
Joe and
he
Dex.
So believes in the rights of everyone. That's why they want to go back to the original version of the Constitution where non-whites were three-fifths of a person.
Yes.
Turns out Rosa Parks wanted to sit in the back of the bus, but she was forced by liberals
to go to the front. Where do the cool kids sit now? They all sit in the back. It's hip.
Joe in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I was calling to make a comparison of how Karl Rove is just like Heather Locklear.
Well, I can't wait to hear this one.
Okay.
Well, remember back in the 1990s in Melrose Place, how she was always introduced as the special guest star?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fox News, which that's the only thing they play at my gym, so unfortunately I have to watch it. And so I see Karl Rove a lot, and he's always introduced as their special guest star, guest host.
Right.
I'm thinking, who are they kidding?
He's always there. Right.
He's always there. So I'm thinking, okay, Amanda Woodward, so you're going to come out of the woodwork and not be their special star anybody.
He made the
analogy. He was right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great. And it's every episode if they had introducing Karl Rove, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know who he is.
All right, Bob in Pennsylvania on the Beck Rally. The Beckapalooza. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm just wondering why
the Beck...
The rally.
Tea bag party.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the one in D.C. Why don't a bunch of black Americans get together and show up and just shut the things down?
Well, they are. Dred Scott will be there, as you know.
Yes. Carrying
Harriet Tubman. Mm-hmm. Understand, big mm-hmm. Glenn Beck fan.
It's, yeah, it's good.
And a lot of other...
Christmas addicts will be there, too.
A lot of dead African Americans.
Malcolm X will be there to balance the message.
Hattie McDaniel
will be there, absolutely.
Hattie McDaniel, fresh off the set of Gone with the Wind.
Right.
Uh-huh. David.
And they're all going to be... but they're not... They're just there to support Glenn Beck and everything that he does.
David in Springfield.
Look at about this big issue of the Muslim Civic Center and mosque and combination building over in New York City.
Yes.
The best way to solve that is to allow the people of New York City to have a binding referendum this November. They can still do it because there's plenty of time to put it on the ballot.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing about minority rights, majority vote. No.
Confucius, no.
No. Yeah.
Okay, so in Michigan, where...
freedom of religion, no, we don't get to put it to a vote.
Right. It's private property.
Yes.
You want to put private property up to a vote?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that I should take it personally that when I met Tiger Woods, who was nothing but a perfect gentleman?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Aw, Newsbusters is whining that we won't give them a free...
Yeah, they were whining to me yesterday over Twitter that we weren't giving them a free StephCast subscription.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pay your $4.95 a month, a year in advance, if you buy a year in advance like everybody else.
Yeah, they get all that that Media Research Center money from Brent Bozell. They can afford it.
Exactly.
We're nice enough to give you right-wing moron alerts when I'm going to say something that you'll want to cover.
Right.
God's sake, we have to do everything. We're capitalists over here.
Exactly. Isn't there a free market solution to their problem? In that they can stop actually using quotes from the show if they can't afford to pay the price.
Yeah,
sorry. Mm. Look, that way, if you find some way to give salmonella to your audience, they won't get it because they figure
you
not.
You people like charity and stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
You don't believe in capitalism.
You just do it stuff for free.
All right. Let's. You forced me into celebrity stack.
What?
Tiger Woods' wife. What? I thought she got a lot of money to shut her pie hole.
She
She's not.
Oh, no?
Uh-oh.
She said she's been through hell. But she never hit him.
Okay. She's not allowed to talk about his life or whatever.
Oh.
She can talk about her side of it all she wants.
She told People magazine she never hit Woods on the night of the crash. Anybody buying? Anybody?
Just,
anybody?
Just a 9-iron flew through the air.
Yeah.
Yes.
A satanic sort of, you know, manifestation or something.
She says that when Woods left the house that night and didn't return, she got worried.
Worried he might be.
Let me take a 9-iron out and go look for him.
Yeah.
There he is.
She was afraid he would make it from the green.
She said that's when she found him in the car. I did everything I could to get him out of the locked car.
Including bashing him through the...
Chasing him around yelling, four.
What's four in Swedish?
Yeah, right.
Sheer.
Sheer.
She said, I've survived, but it was hard, but it didn't kill me. I would have liked to kill him, but it didn't work.
She's a beautiful woman.
Oh, dear.
She and her sister. Yeah,
Josephine.
I'm vultures, you vultures. Fresh meat.
Absolutely.
Fresh, vulnerable meat, and you're swirling already. Swarming.
I'm landing on the branches nearby, giving her a hard stare.
She will eventually forgive Woods, but she's still working on it. She's working on it. She said, forgiveness takes time. It's the last step of the grieving process.
Yeah.
Right, after hitting him with a 9-iron.
Like maybe a billion years.
Right.
It might take a little while.
I'm working on that. I'm not to that phase
yet. About 1,000 years for every whore he slept with. How about, it's going to take time.
All right.
It'll take a little time.
Oh, speaking of shocking breakups, Heidi and Spencer. Heidi says they were getting along really well. Divorce was going very smoothly before he announced plans to release sex tapes of her. That's a buzzkill right there. Spencer claims he found the X-rated clips of Heidi and some other former Playboy playmate, somebody, one of Hugh Hefner's exes, in the attic of the Malibu home he previously shared with his spouse. Christmas just came early.
Wow.
What's this? Spencer also claims to have 2 sex tapes featuring himself and Heidi, which he plans to release if she refuses to give in to his pleas to make another reality TV show with him.
What?
This is marriage in today's America.
Wow. And we got to keep the gays out of this business,
because
they will ruin the sanctity of it.
Yes. I told Heidi, if you don't want to do the new reality show with me, I'll have to release the old footage. I can get $5 million from a sex tape. I don't really want to do that. I know it's not the way I want things to be, but I need to. Heidi's furious with me, but I need to look out for myself.
I'd like to horribly embarrass myself on video.
Yes.
I'd like it to be with my clothes on, but just as shameful.
Right. Publicly, Heidi has denied the recording even exists, saying there is no sex tape that exists and there never was. However, hold on. Gossip website TMZ claims that Heidi has privately agreed to meet with pornographic video distributor Steve Hirsch, co-chairman of Vivid Entertainment, who released Kim Kardashian's sex tape.
Oh, he's good.
For a marketing
meeting? There isn't a tape, but I'm just taking a meeting, just in the hypothetical, if there was.
Yeah.
I'm taking a meeting.
$5 million, you say?
Yeah, right.
According to the website,
on the other hand,
she has requested to see sales figures for Kim Kardashian's tape and might be interested in a back-end deal.
And that's some back-end.
Smackety-doo.
If you
can't. I'll tell you.
There is no sex tape, but depending
but
on...
But if there were...
What the back-end deal is.
How much
maybe
in the ballpark of... And second phone call was to him. Look, we don't really have a sex tape, but we should shoot one. We really should.
We'll shoot it. Shoot it.
That's weird, because interestingly enough, she just got her ears pierced, and they weren't pierced when they were together. And her ears are pierced in the video. What's up with that?
And she's bright enough. And she's bright enough. They shoot it now. And at the end of it, go. What is that? A camera, Spencer? What are you doing?
How dare you? I'm appalled.
What's that red light on the bookcase?
Why is the bookcase blinking at me? Oh, dear, this is, I don't know what's going to happen here with the Miss Universe is Mexican.
What?
Because Mexico is not part of the universe, apparently.
How did she even get her papers in her bikini? There's barely room.
First of all.
How did she show?
Huge danger in calling yourself Miss Universe when we only are including this planet. Because what if there isn't another real Miss Universe from another planet?
Oh,
and the way they choose their winner is by combat. Right. And then the female from Aliens shows up, you know, because she puked acid on last year's winner and ripped her in half. And Sigourney Weaver came in second.
There it is.
But yeah,
Aliens 5.
Yeah, right, exactly. Miss Universe.
Wow.
Definitely organic.
You know, Hal Sparks has had absolutely no sleep whatsoever, and this is just kind of stream of consciousness. So
you stream of consciousness, actually.
Yes.
From Hal Sparks.
What's up with that Elizabeth Hasselbeck? That's my question this morning.
Oh, wow, all right.
She regards President Obama as an incredibly cool guy and parts company with the conservative culture warriors on gay marriage and abortion rights, she says.
Wow. Really?
She said, I actually support gay marriage. Oh, dear.
Well, it's a generational thing. They're finding, yes. I mean, this is one of the hardest things for the...
Yes, yeah. In this new poll, right. People under 30 in every state, not just liberal states, support gay marriage.
Right, because they think it's silly and whatever. A distraction, and they don't... Yeah, that's why... Yeah, well, that's why Muslim... Zero one, like there's going to be at Ground Zero. There's going to be a command center and like for the.
And by the
Islamic
way,
once
you get to the under 10, you're golden for gay rights.
Yeah.
Then the most common reaction. Okay, can we go watch cartoons?
I would like to perform the wedding myself. Once they're like 6 years old, they're like, I want to get ordained so I can do it. Which, by the way, I am ordained as a minister, and both in two churches, so that I'm actually legally recognized in all states and can perform gay marriages wherever they are legal.
Hmm.
However, last month, Obama appeared on The View, during which Hasselbeck challenged the president on why the stimulus plan hadn't created more jobs. I love this description. Hasselbeck recalled the intensity in his eyes. He wasn't just answering me. He was sending through me a message to the American people that felt special. Admitting she was so nervous beforehand that she got a mani-pedi to prepare.
Wow. She should watch out for Michelle with the frying pan. She's going to be.
This is the state of modern American journalism. You get to prepare for asking the President of the United States a question by getting your corns done.
Yeah, you've learned to deal with the liberal elite by going and getting a mani-pedi. Someone who's out of touch with mainstream America,
do
go
get
your nails
sparkly
done.
Red or sparkly blue color to interview the president? I don't know which second.
Bless her sweet little confused heart.
Well, it could be red states and blue states. I'll get one color on one foot and one on the other.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And that's how you prepare to interview the president of the United States.
I have a question, though. Was she asking a question of the president, why hasn't it... the stimulus package actually had created more jobs. Does she mean more jobs than George Bush lost in his presidency? Mm-hmm. Because it has.
You know what?
It's actually created more jobs in the private sector, by the way, than George Bush lost.
Listen,
you're welcome, America.
He hasn't gained a single job.
Listen, she had a hammer toe to take care of. You can't expect her to have perused the economic numbers when George Bush was president. She had other prep to do.
Right.
Okay, Bernice in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie
Unlike
Miller
Dennis
Show.
Prager, we're not calling her a liar.
Good morning. Stephanie,
yes.
I think it's time for you to go cold turkey on the wine.
No.
Well, because you can do a great deed in the process.
Okay.
You just need to send your box wine down to Chile. Because I don't know if you heard the story, but the miners that are trapped under there, you know, they're going to be there like 4 months.
Oh, God, I heard,
Yes. But the one thing they asked for is, because it's Chilean Independence Day in about a month, they asked that the president of Chile send them some wine. So I think you should do this first.
I will send them my wine. All right. Oof.
Well,
if you've even ever had a claustrophobic thought, how about being those guys? Just like, oh.
Let's also realize that Steph could send enough wine for 40 miners trapped underground for a month and still have plenty left over for the rest of...
What's your point?
Right?
The
year.
Let's go to John in Austin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hey, y'all. Okay, this is about the Glenn Beck party in Washington. Somebody was talking about, well, we ought to have some blacks show up and blah, 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 and y'all kind of made a joke about it, and it was funny. But Mike Papantonio last night on the Ed Show was talking about that he thought that this was actually a pretty dangerous prospect and that they were actually baiting, that the Beck and party were baiting blacks, hoping that they would come and get violence so that they could point their finger at them and be very afraid.
Right. Which, by the way, is
what... the black people.
Right, which is, by the way, what the Nazi Party and the skinheads do when they march through an area. That's the whole point, is that they want to say, we're just exercising our rights. They're the ones who are animals because they do this and that. And that's... I think you're exactly right. I think the smart thing is to do what the people of Skokie did, for example, when the Nazis marched, which was stay indoors and hang a ribbon on your door and say, I don't approve and I'm not going to give you my attention.
Thank you. Pam in Seattle on the Beccapalooza. Hello, Pam.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to know the history of the Mormons because they were chased across this country as they tried to establish themselves in Ohio and Illinois. And their churches were burned and their leaders were killed. And that's why they ended up as this, unfortunately, very segregated group in Utah.
Right. Yep, yep, I know. Yeah, it's hard to believe he missed that.
They also have an interesting history with black people, the Mormon Church.
Or as they call them, the Mud People.
Yeah, yes, the people who, in the wars, the angel wars that are talked about in the Old Testament, the way you know which angels were incarnated as good or evil, which side they fought on, was they're incarnated as black if they're bad angels.
Mm. Mm.
That's an interesting little...
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. What's for our last course? Boner Bites.
Oh, nice.
We have some Boner Bites for everybody.
John, hell no, you can't!
John, the Boner spoke yesterday. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hell no, you can't!
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. We're Patty in Fort Lauderdale's smartest girl in class. She says, Steph, majority rule is two wolves and a sheep deciding what to eat for dinner. That's a good one. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama.
Hello,
can
honey.
Can you just call me Brock Landers?
Hello, Brock Landers. Why, it's Brock Landers. Are you here to deliver my sausage pizza?
Rock Brockton.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brock.
My washboard stummer makes me look like Michelangelo.
Yes.
Or whatever that is. Hey, two things. Is number one, I want to congratulate Chris on the new word he coined this morning.
Oh. All right, that was by accident.
What was that?
That's right. Doesn't need to be repeated.
No.
But the second thing is, I just saw on the news that Jackie Robinson and Satchel Paige are coming to...
Oh, that's great.
Yes,
that's
so yes great. Exactly.
They're, yeah, they're going to do selected readings from the Christmas sweater, I heard. They're both going to act it out.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be the... Yeah.
Michael in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You were talking earlier about kids and gay marriage and not getting it. My sister-in-law is a devout Mormon, lives in Canada, and is the head of the primary or the kids group at church. Mm-hmm. And she was teaching a lesson, including to her 7-year-old son, about what they call the proclamation of the family, which is basically no marriage is good, but men and women, I guess it depends on the number of women. So anyway, she's teaching this lesson, and they get on the subject. Some smartass raises his hand and talks about how in Canada, men can marry men, women can marry women. And her 7-year-old, who still doesn't like girls, figured that that's the greatest thing in the world and has since then decided that he's marrying a man when he gets older. And his Mormon parents are having a hell of a time without accelerating to the birds and the bees discussion why that's not okay.
Right.
From the mouths of babes.
Yeah,
anyway.
All right. Thank you.
It's always an awkward conversation to have anyways, because if you're going to tell them that
sometimes the girls and icky are icky sticks and sometimes it doesn't.
Right, exactly. And, of course, when a bee and a bird try to get together, it is against God's law.
Yes.
Mm. So,
by the way,
have a birds and the bees conversation.
Marine Corps Commandant General James Conway, do you know this asshat. He reiterated his position that if Congress repeals Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Marines who don't want a room with openly gay soldiers should be allowed to live separately. He suggested if the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law is repealed, Marines may consider allowing Marines not to share quarters with the... the sexuals. He said Marines may make such housing arrangements voluntary to accommodate any moral concerns. He said Marines are very religious because of their moral concerns. Don't want a room with the sexuals.
Yeah.
Just like they didn't want a room with black people in the early 50s.
Because you could get that on you, too.
What about Muslim soldiers or Native American soldiers who are the, by number the most decorated minority group?
Here's something everyone can agree is delicious. Boner bites. The boner gave a little speech yesterday. He says, time to put the grown-ups in charge. This is the guy that has
the
a screaming, crying, hissy fit where he throws something on the floor of Congress every other day.
Nope. We're not allowed to do that.
He's the grown-up.
Right. What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do
he's
that.
He's the grown-up, the biggest tantrum thrower in the entire Congress.
I think
he should be on the top of our list.
I think he means it's time to let the grown-ups take over the GOP, because the children have clearly been running it for the last 18 months.
The boner.
We tried 19 months of government as community organizer.
Oh, good one. Good one.
That hasn't worked.
That hasn't worked. There's no jobs at all. Only jobs were created at all.
Only as many as 3 million jobs, and I'll take credit for them by showing up at job fairs.
The boner.
Prospect of higher taxes, stricter rules, more regulations has employers sitting on their hands.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's too much. There is on the TV. Where is really orange?
Raising taxes on families and small businesses during a recession is a recipe for disaster.
Yes, small businesses make
for both our
dollars.
Economy and for our deficit. Period. End of story.
That's interesting because Obama wants to keep the part of the Bush tax cuts that apply to small business.
Yes.
He just wants to get rid of the part for the upper 2%.
Yes.
People like John Boehner.
Yeah. Joe Biden had some response to
the chief proposal, when you look at it, apparently was that the president should fire his economic team. Very constructive advice, and we thank the leader for that. But let's take a look at the rest of his advice. But first, let's review a little bit of history here. For 8 years before we arrived in the West Wing, Mr. Boehner and his party ran the economy and the middle class literally into the ground.
Oh, it's Bush derangement syndrome. You're blaming it on George Bush, even though the economy is great.
Why are you playing the Bush card? Because Bush screwed up the economy. Look, if we know
isn't it just like Jim as an impressionist? It's like Tom DeLay with two turns to the right. It's just an overly tanned, drunken.
It's a crime. Tom DeLay is what it is.
What is it with Republican men?
If Tom DeLay's the silly drunk, John Boehner is the angry drunk.
The angry
drunk.
Crying.
He's
drunk.
The weepy drunk. Yeah. Yes, Joe Biden again.
Mr. Boehner is nostalgic for those good old days, but the American people are not.
Yeah. We're only losing 700,000 jobs a month. Yeah.
We said the other day, he's Mad Men. He's that throwback guy with cigarettes and the martini and the...
Hey, sweet cakes, give me my cigarettes and bourbon.
Bill Burton yesterday, White House press secretary.
And of course the president isn't satisfied with the pace at which it's moving, but he does think that we need to keep moving with the policies that help to get us out of the crisis and not go back to the ones that got us into it.
Chris Van Hollen said, instead of shouting for the resignations of somebody, they should help us pass the jobs creation legislation. How about that? That's why they called it a jobs bill.
Or the tax breaks for small business that Obama's been trying to push through that they actually have.
Where are the jobs? Where are the jobs? We don't want a jobs bill. We're just going to the jobs.
Where are the jobs we stopped from being created?
Joe Biden said, we've seen this movie before. We know how it ends in the largest economic downturn since the Great Depression. The American people deserve something different and something better. Yeah, that was...
You know what I say to that? Nope. Nope. Nope.
No.
No.
Tanning bed.
Fire.
Time to climb in the giant light clam.
You two have had like a half an hour of sleep between you, haven't you?
We're having a great time over here, I'll have you know.
It's like I fell down in the Sigma Chi house or something. Woke up.
As silly as I am, have I been off
And I don't even know, my underwear's on my head, and I don't know what else happened this morning.
Have I been off in my facts today? No.
No. HowlSparks.com is how you can find out about all things HowlSparks. And thanks for driving all night until your hands were wet on the wheel to get to Mama.
Well, you know, we have a thing called Radar Love.
All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LeMoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
On Twitter.